The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning and happy Easter to you all. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight this morning. Amen. Amen. In keeping with a directive from the National Church, in an honor of the great Easter sermon of St. John Chrysostom, preached in the year 398, today's sermon will be delivered completely in Latin. Erant omnino itinera duo quibus itinerabus domo, exire possent unum per sequanus augustum et difficile, enter montam lorum et flumum rodanum, vix qua singule cari desorentur et April Fool. I think I had some of you sweating bullets there, didn't I? That text, by the way, is not particularly spiritual. For those of you who suffered through 4 years of Latin in high school, it's from Caesar's commentary on the Gallic Wars. Now, in most years, say around the beginning of Epiphany, after Easter is over, you hear a common question tossed around the church. And the question really is, well, when is Easter going to be this year? What day is it on? That did not happen this year. Everybody and their dog knew that Easter was coming on April Fool's Day this year. The last time it happened was in 1956. It will happen again in the year 2029, so mark your calendars now. But in most years, it's a pretty legitimate question. From one year to the next, Easter generally doesn't fall on the same day. It can come as early as March 22nd, as late in the year as April 25th. And for those of you who didn't remember this from confirmation class, the day of Easter corresponds to the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. I mean, seriously? How random is that? Well, how that happened, and the short version of it, is in 325 AD, the Emperor Constantine decided to convene a council, the Council of Nicaea. That's where we get our Nicene Creed from. But one of the other agenda items, other than the creed, was to figure out when Easter should be celebrated, and they came up with the Easter rule. There was some dissension. A lot of folks, especially in the Eastern Church, said Easter should come and coincide with the Passover, because after all, Jesus came to Jerusalem for the Passover. Sounds pretty logical, but that didn't win out. What won out was having Easter come very, very close to the beginning of spring. And that's because there were a lot of pagan festivals that took place around that time, and they wanted Easter to be able to co-opt those Easter festivals so people would understand that Easter is central, not these pagan festivals. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, now his rebirth and resurrection, is what is important. As often is the case with church councils, this dissension continued. 700 years later, there was a split in the church over this and other issues. But wherever it falls on the calendar, whatever date it is, Easter, and the question, when does Easter come, has much more to do with the spirit than it does with the calendar. Easter comes when we ourselves encounter the risen Christ, when we ourselves encounter the resurrected one of God. As we look at today's gospel text, that question clearly arises for Mary and the disciples. When does Easter come for them? Mary goes to the tomb. She sees the stone rolled away. She sees the empty tomb. But in our text this morning, she has not yet experienced Easter. She has not understood that Jesus is born again, is resurrected. So the other disciples, they come to the empty tomb. They gather more evidence. They see the tomb is empty and the stone is rolled away. And when they go in, they find the wrappings that were around Jesus' body. And they find the towel that had been on his face. And yet, with all this evidence, they still don't believe or understand what has happened to Jesus. They still don't know that he has been resurrected. And I think this is really our first clue as to how not to answer the question, when will Easter come? Easter will not come when we have gathered all the forensic evidence in the world to support the fact that Jesus lived. We've been doing that for years. There's been historical analysis of ancient texts to try to find references to Jesus' life. There is the Shroud of Turin that was discovered, and scientists have been examining that. It is supposed to be those very wrappings that were around Jesus' body. The jury is still out on that, whether it's authentic or not. Most recently, you may recall, there was an ossuary, which is a stone box where bones are placed in, and there was an inscription on this box that was found near Jerusalem, the bones of James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. And scholars are fighting over that as to whether that's accurate. But my brothers and sisters, we can gather all the historical evidence, all the physical data in the world, and it still will not answer the question for us, when does Easter come? We are frustrated by that because, in generally, we have become a people who respect science, and we like to think of ourselves as rational people. And if we found physical evidence, we might be able to believe. But that's not how it works, and that didn't work for the disciples. All this physical evidence didn't do a thing to help them understand that Jesus Christ had been resurrected on that Easter morning. Now, the Gospels go on to say that Mary hung back and that she encountered two beings, two angels, two witnesses to actually what happened. They talk to Mary and ask her about why she's here and why she's weeping. In the Gospel according to Luke, the angels have a rather stirring testimony that they give to her. They say to her, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be crucified and handed over to sinners and on the third day rise again." Mary has evidence in the form of witnesses. Two witnesses, and what witnesses they are angels. And being a lawyer, I can tell you that that warms my inner lawyer self. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside to think of having two witnesses to take the stand to say exactly the same thing. But it's not enough for Mary. She still doesn't understand that Jesus is resurrected. And this is our second clue as to how not to answer the question when Easter will come. It will not come when we gather enough testimonials. The faith of our fathers and of our mothers and our sisters and our friends and brothers is not enough for us to be able to answer the question, when does Easter come? Some like to say, and I think there's some truth in it, that God has many children, but no grandchildren. We all have to come to faith ourselves. We all have to have that encounter with the risen Christ. We all have to answer this question for ourselves: who is the risen Christ for you? There's nothing wrong with coming to church and fellowshipping with each other. Christian fellowship is wonderful, and the food is really good, by the way. But fellowship alone is not enough. You can't know the risen Christ vicariously. It's not like sitting next to a person with faith in the pew is ordinarily going to rub off on you. You have to know Jesus. You have to encounter him yourself. You have to have that personal encounter. And that, my friends, is exactly what happened to Mary in the gospel text this morning. After the angels, she sees who she believes to be the gardener. She says to him, "Where have you taken him?" And then Jesus looks at her with compassion and love in his eyes and calls her by the name that she has heard so many hundreds of times that has always warmed her heart. He says to her, "Mary, Mary." He calls her by name. She recognizes then the risen Christ. He's called her personally by name, and the resurrection has come. And Easter has come for her at last. And she says to him, "Rabbi," she goes to embrace him. By calling him Rabbi, she is saying, "My teacher." And she goes to embrace him in love. So when will Easter come this year? Easter will come when God calls your name and you hear that voice and you respond to that voice in love. When you call Jesus Rabbi, after you hear that voice and commit yourself and your lives to to following the great teacher and walking in his way. I'm confident, I am very confident that on this Easter morning, God is calling us once more. He's calling us, maybe not in a loud voice, but in a still, small voice. He's calling each of our names. And the question becomes, are we listening? Are we like Mary, willing to embrace the Lord in love and faith, grow in the knowledge of that grace and love, and follow him wherever it may lead us as teacher and rabbi? Are we like Mary, willing to commit our lives to going out from this place into this dark and hurting world to proclaim that Easter message, to tell others that Jesus is alive for me and can be alive for you? And Jesus is alive for all the hurting and the poor and the suffering and the broken people of this earth. And Jesus calls us by name to go out into those places and to care for those people because they are God's treasure. Some people say in the Episcopal Church, we have no altar call. I disagree. Au contraire. We have an altar call every single week in the Episcopal Church. We call you to the altar to bend your knee and take in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that his resurrected self might be resurrected in you and live within you to go out those doors and to bring that good news of Easter to this whole hurting world. And to that call that is made to each one of us this morning, my friends, if we respond as Mary did in faith and love to follow our rabbi and teacher and to live our lives according to his way and his teaching, well, my brothers and my sisters, there really is a very simple answer then to the question, when is Easter? Easter is here. Easter is now. Amen.